We're very pleased to see you all here. Let me introduce the participants. Ambassador Florence Mangin of France, Ambassador Omar Schneeberg from Morocco, and the France and Morocco will lead the entering into force process of the treaty for the next 2 years. And immediately to my right, CDPTO Executive Secretary Thibault Tott, I'm sure you all know. So we will start immediately, and I will hand over the floor to Ambassador Mangin. Please.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Thibault, to have organized this discussion with the press to present our conference. I will be very short in order to manage some time for the question and the discussion with my colleague Omar from Morocco. I only wanted to stress the importance of the conference we will hold in New York the 24th and 25th of September, because as you know all, there is a good context, a good political and overall context this year, because of the new atmosphere created by the Obama administration since the speech in Prague, and the willingness, even if it will be difficult, but the willingness, the American willingness, to ratify this time the treaty. Another element which is very interesting for the initiative is the good way of discussions between Russian and American on disarmament in Geneva. So it's another element of a context which can create some hope and some interest, and some announcements made by other countries, Indonesia and China, about the treaty of the CTBT. So there are some elements, some signs. We must be cautious, but there are some elements which can create a better atmosphere than in the previous times. For us, this conference is very important. As you know, maybe France has been with UK the first country to sign and to ratify the treaty. It has been the first state to decide the shutdown and the dismantling of its facility of the production of fissile materials for nuclear weapons, and it has been made in a transparent manner. We have organized in last year and in March and June some visits, and the last one was for the press, some visit of the installation of Marcoule and Pierre Latte to show the process of dismantling our production. And I think it has been without precedent, this kind of transparency. And we have all also decided to dismantle in a transparent manner our site in Pacific. So for us, this conference, because of this new context, because of the attachment we have from the beginning to the treaty, this conference in September is very important, and we hope firmly that it will be opportunity for many countries, many partners, or to announce something new, we don't know already, or to precise some intention, some willingness in New York. So it's there is a momentum, there is a good context, and without being naive, we really hope that this conference will help in the process of ratification and entry into force of this very important treaty. For the time being, it was only the things I wanted to say for my work.
Thank you very much for us. Good morning, everyone. It's a very good opportunity to meet the press this morning and to have some exchanges about the next conference on Article 14. But above all, I would like to say some few words about the motivations behind the fact that Morocco is concurring together with France, I mean, to prepare and chair this conference. Morocco is strongly and deeply convinced that time has arrived, maybe more than ever, to push ahead the non-proliferation regime, and likewise, I mean, to exert all the efforts at the international level to achieve concrete steps also on nuclear disarmament. As said by Laurence, we are maybe in a new positive context on the multilateral level. It is well known by everybody. The CTBT has a particularity, as you know, of course. We are facing problems because this treaty indicates that some particular states have to ratify it before it's entered into force. And the fact, obvious fact is, and this difficulty, this particularity, is not easy to tackle. We have, till now, 9 states left before the entry force of the treaty, and which make it more hard and more difficult. Among these 9 states, 2 are nuclear weapons powers. A reading of the text of the CTBT shows very clearly that nuclear weapon powers bear special responsibility when it comes to the appliance of the treaty. So we have good hope. Declarations were made by first President Obama once, arriving in the White House and exercising his current mandate. Some signals also from China. It was said very clearly during our consultations leading to the preliminary adoption of the final declaration of the next conference by the Chinese delegation, that the process entered into the legislative body already. It may take time, so we don't know, but there is a political will from the Chinese side also to go ahead and to achieve this very important step, at least to have the special nuclear weapon states concurring to the efforts, which could facilitate. We have also regional problems. We may enter into these details if you wish later on. Very sensitive approach, particularly in the Middle East region and South Asia. Well, now the conference seems to be very interesting one. It will also, as you most probably are aware, be organized at the same time that the summit, with the summit of the Security Council called for by President Obama on the 24th of September, which summit will tackle particularly as a priority the non-proliferation and disarmament issues, which could be, a good opportunity for the CTBT to have some interactivity, which is an important event. I would like to say, before of course leaving to you the floor, because it is the purpose of our meeting this morning, to hear from you, and to try to answer to your questions, that Morocco, as well as France, I'm sure, are very and highly satisfied by the work done by the Secretariat, and particularly by the Executive Secretary, Mr. Thibaudot, helping us to achieve our endeavors. And it is well known that the work already achieved by the Secretariat when it comes to the mandate concerning verification, the system of inspections is very well advanced, and we are sure that once the treaty will enter into force, everything will be ready from the side of the Secretariat to be here and to, together with the member states achieve our common goals when it comes to this important and essential matter as a city. Thank you very much.
Yes, just some very quick points, and I think your questions might be interesting. 24th of September, this is the birthday of this treaty. So it's an amazing birthday present in a way, just to put things in the context. There is a Security Council meeting at the highest possible level. Heads of governments, heads of states, the 15 members of the Security Council, permanent, non-permanent members. In addition to that, we will have a gathering to which the Secretary General invited more than 180 ministers. This is our ministerial meeting. This is to give a push to the entry into force. The level which will be present on the 24th, I would call it a powerhouse, a nuclear non-proliferation disarmament powerhouse. Such a level was for the last time on these issues present on the day when this treaty was signed. Back in 1996 probably, 24th of September 1996 was the last time when on such a level heads of governments, heads of states converged and discussed these issues. At that time it was the signature of this treaty, so it's symbolic in many aspects. What is expected from the conference has been articulated by the co-chair. The feeling of mine is that the treaty members of the family will further demonstrate cohesion and solidarity. I do not want to overstate the importance of it, but for the last 10 years behind us, when years were challenging, through high-level presence in ministerial meetings, through consensus declarations, a solidarity and a cohesion behind this treaty was demonstrated. And of course, this is the talk-the-talk part of it, but there is a walk-the-walk part of it as well, because during the same 10 years there has been an investment of $1 billion in our verification system, and a very significant increase in the number of ratifiers, and we are on the verge of getting to 150 ratifiers by the time of this meeting. So symbol is 15 members of the Security Council in one room at the heads of governments and state level, and 150 ratifiers next to it at the same time converging on the birthday of the treaty.
So, for questions, please, floor is open. Jonathan.
Well, I'm sorry to rain on the party, but I'm Jonathan Tyrone, I'm Bloomberg News. And you have a lot of reason to look forward to the meeting. However, there has been some news out of Geneva, for example, with the conference on disarmament, which has fallen apart now over the fissile material cutoff treaty. And the country, Pakistan, which prevented the meeting from doing its work, pointed out some very obvious inconsistencies to the non-proliferation regime that seem inevitably to impact the CTBT, of course, Pakistan being one of the annexed countries that needs to sign it as well. So even looking beyond ratification, perhaps, by the U.S. Senate, and that may be a long shot in the near future as well, what are your thoughts about these big other annex countries like Pakistan, like India, and how you're I guess persuading, communicating your message.
Of course, you're right. It's not done. the ratification by the nine countries which are still on the margin. But we feel, it's an impression, a political impression, we feel that if the United States and China succeed in ratifying, it will have an impact. We don't know the schedule, we don't know the time it will take, but definitively it will have a real political impact. So we are not too much optimistic, we are not naive, but there is a path, there is a process which has begun and which was totally blocked before. That's all. We don't say it's done and we're happy it will be done in a year. Maybe it will take some time, but really with the new context, the new strategic context, even if you're right, there are still some real and deep difficulties. There is a new context and we feel that after ratification by China and the United States, the other countries can't see the dossier with the same eyes. But of course, we have to be cautious and realistic. But there will be, politically, there will be something new. But you're right, we need nine ratifications. So nine is nine. You're right.
Is it just, if I may add something on this very important subject? I mean, first of all, there is a moratorium, which is also observed by the two countries you spoke about. Maybe except, of course, the tests by the DPRT. And you may have seen also the past few days in the press some declaration of Pakistan and India. There was an expert in India who made a declaration a few days ago saying that maybe the tests organized by India in the mid-90s were not so efficient. And afterwards, some concerns were expressed by the Pakistani press about saying that it may, significate such a declaration that India is considering to test again. But after these concerns, appearing in the Pakistani press, there was a formal and official declaration by a high official from India denying it, which is a good sign, and which means that even if India and Pakistan are not yet on board, they are taking very seriously the process of the CTBT in consideration. And as said by my friend and French colleague, this is a process, a long process. Mr. Todd said that the treaty was signed already in 1996, but more and more countries are coming in, and the pressure also will be more heavy on the shoulders of those who are still in a kind of expectation.
You mentioned the FMCT, and it's a reminder that there are too many doors still open to countries who potentially might go in the wrong direction towards military capabilities. FMCT is one door which will have to be closed because fissile material for military purposes will have to be stopped to be produced. It's an important quantitative aspect. CTBT door will have to be closed because this is the qualitative aspect. By prohibiting nuclear weapon tests, another door is closed. Of course, in the IAEA, there are the safeguards and the additional protocol doors as well. These things are handled in different places and put in different boxes, but they are belonging to the same issue. So an efficient nuclear non-proliferation and disarmament regime cannot exist without the Tezban Treaty, and the other way around, the Tezban Treaty will have to be supported by a regime on fissile materials and the regime on safeguards and additional protocol. There is a complementarity. Mm-hmm. Where the challenge comes, that progress on these issues, number one, takes a lot of time, and number two, not necessarily within a reach. So if I take FMCT, even if a week ago an agreement, a happy consensus emerged on starting the negotiations, the lead time for an arrangement to fall in place is 5 to 15 years. 5 to 15 years. And what the Obama administration with the international community is trying to do, to revive multilateralism. But for that, results are needed. So I mentioned this, talk the talk and walk the walk. So it's not just enough to announce measures, there is a need to deliver measures, probably not in 5 or 15 years, but in a much shorter time frame, in 2 or 3 years. So this is where, for this treaty, there is an uphill walk. I have no doubts about that, because those 9 files are serious files. But I see encouraging signs, and one encouraging sign is this debate, what is going on in India and Pakistan. So if you turn around the issue and set aside that some scientists are calling for new tests, the other aspect is that something is boiling. Something is boiling in India, something is boiling in Pakistan, there is a soul searching. And of course, the statement of President Obama indicated that after the US ratification, the US will reach out to allies, those who are still not ratifiers. But my take on issues is the only country which can eventually convince India is India. And the only country which eventually can convince Pakistan is Pakistan. So from that point of view, this domestic debate is the thing what is needed at this stage. Of course, it's important to see some of the US developments. There was a study initiated by the administration, a non-partisan study by the Nash Academy of Sciences, which will have a look at the full, all aspects related to the potential US ratification. So these are important signs. We had here a big gathering of scientists, which might be relevant from the point of view of addressing the verification capabilities. Mm-hmm. Many of you were at a press briefing in the Hofburg early June. By now we have some of the concrete tangible results of this gathering of 500 scientists. You remember I mentioned that we had scientific contributions from another 500 scientists, and there are very interesting findings indicating that verification works. So there is an indication about some of the capabilities the system has.
Just to add one point on the Indian debate to what has already been discussed, it is not only in terms of upholding the moratorium, but the debate in India now in several newspapers has said that high officials have come out saying that we're very detrimental to India's relations with other countries such as the United States, Russia, France and others if they actually were to test again. So this is this has been seen as something very serious in the new situation as India finds itself, that it does not want to disrupt its relations with the international community. And then in this debate you've also had high-level officials coming out and saying, well, if we are upholding moratorium, we're not going to test again, so why not? Why can't we sign the CTBT? And this is actually part of the debate today in India, And this is a new debate that we haven't seen in the last 10 years. Please, more questions. Please.
My general question, is there any way you can see that the... My name is Jordi, who's from Spanish Youth Agency. Is there any way that this can come into force with only 8 out of 9 ratifying? Would there be any possibility? Is there anything? Is there a plan B for the case that everybody ratifies but one or two certain countries?
I would say plan A is the 9 ratifications falling in place, and plan B is 44 ratifications in place, but sorry for that. I think at this stage all the eyes of the political leaders should be focused on how to line up the 9 missing ratifications. And again, it's an uphill walk, but with all the dedication which is articulated, with all the support shown, my feeling is it's doable. It will not happen tomorrow, it will not happen next week, but it's very much doable. And I don't think in a longer perspective we have too many other alternatives than to put this treaty in place and then to move to the next level, FISA material, and to move to the strengthening of the safeguards system. If you assume that it might be unrealistic, look back. So have a perspective from 1999, the Indian-Pakistani test series were behind us, the U.S. Senate failed with the ratification. Countries could have given up. Countries could have said, "Okay, let's get out. this is a lost business." And what happened from 1999? Practically, all system was non-existent. So the whole system of 270 facilities around the world has been built after 1999. This is my reference to this $1 billion investment, but it means 270 stations were put in place, not because capitals are blind or they are politically ignorant. My take is that because, notwithstanding the difficulties, they wanted to move in this direction. And if you take the number of ratifications, in 1999 we had 100 less ratification. We had less than 50 ratification at this time in 1999. So 100 more countries added the ratification against all the odds. So right now we have a very sunny weather outside, politically speaking. So I think the only way to move forward is to do it. And yes, at this stage it seems complicated, but as it was mentioned, there was no debate a month ago or 2 months ago in India. There was no debate in Pakistan. There were no scientists and security experts who dared to say in India that what's our problem with this treaty. So it will take time, it will take efforts, but frankly speaking, I think plan A is 9 more ratification, plan B is 44 ratifications. That's my take on it.
Maybe if you could highlight another aspect, I mean, in connection with this question, is that today, in our view, as maybe other major instruments existing in the international life, the CTBT is not only the concerns of states. I mean, speaking about multilateral diplomacy and multilateral negotiations, more and more, it's an evidence, I mean, civil society, public opinion, NGOs, press, communication are involved. And I am sure that, I mean, if ever any country around the world has the intention, even the intention, I mean, to break the process, it will not be easily accepted at any level, and particularly by those I spoke about. I mean, it could be not only a heavy responsibility, but damageable above all to the country, which could have the intention, I mean, to go ahead in such an irresponsible way. The test exists this year, isolated completely. We haven't heard any voice expressing any kind of understanding or even, of course, support to what happened in the Korean Peninsula later on this year. So it is a very important issue. The CTBT was negotiated, signed, and ratified, and still on the process of ratifying, to stop the process first of sophisticating the nuclear weapons. It's a major achievement of the international community. As you know, as specialists, some are considering the importance of the CTBT at the same level than the NPT. It is a correlative relations between these two instruments. So it's a very important issue, needless to insist on that. The success of the next conference particularly would be also an achievement towards making more pressure. I mean, calling for those who have not yet done so, to bear the responsibility towards the international community, towards the humanity.
Any questions?
I have another one.
No one else has a question. Jonathan, please.
Well, last year we were all sitting outside of the nuclear suppliers group. And so I'm going back to India and Pakistan, and I'm wondering if you've given any thought to the deal India received by the nuclear suppliers group, and if there's any lessons that can be learned by the nuclear suppliers group going into the future.
I'm happy to let Flora answer.
We could discuss about that, but I'm not sure it's the purpose of the press briefing we have on the conference in September. So I wouldn't like to mix different subjects, even if there are some points of...
You know what I'm referring to, that there was the option of having a binding commitment to not testing in the deal for India by the NSG, and that was weakened. And since it all took place in Vienna, I'm just surprised that nobody was observing that with any interest from the CTBT, but hey, okay.
But a slightly different point, and it's bringing me back to the point I made, that the only country which can convince India is India. So whatever context is there to sell the CTBT as a part of a package, will not work as efficiently as the true belief of those countries, in that case India, against the background of how far the landscape is different. So it's a different landscape compared to 1999. Why is different? Because this is a post-Mumbai and post-Islamabad environment. I'm referring here to some of the terrorist attacks which happened on the territory of those countries. What is relevant for the US, that classical deterrence does not work, why Kissinger, Schultz, Perry and Nunn came forward with their initiative about nuclear abolition, because they said there is a terrorist threat, there is a potential misuse of these assets. Instead of being an asset, positive asset in the judgment of nuclear weapons states of deterrence, there is a potential that not necessarily the weapons, but fissile material, the know-how might fall in the wrong hands. And this is true. This is true in this post-1998 world for not just for the U.S. and for the Russian Federation, but for India and Pakistan as well. During the last 10 years, there were dozens of terrorist acts, not as tragic as Mumbai and as Islamabad. So this is the type of new environment which we have to be factored in. So I believe less in packaging this treaty and trying to put as a part of package of any arrangement. I believe more that these countries should believe that they are not doing good for the rest of the world, though the rest of the world indicated in which direction they would like to go with these 150 ratifications, but this is in their own national security interest as well. So this is the debate which is going on. This is the right fermentation, in my judgment, but this is an issue which we have to be discussed domestically by those countries, and they have to come, and hopefully they will come to the right conclusion.
And just to refer to the debate in the Indian media again, where of course the, for example, the US-India deal and other deals are being discussed in this framework as well, and where you do have the view expressed very clearly that also that of the importance of upholding the moratorium also due to the international agreements, to the international context. So this is of course also part of the debate in Indian media at this stage, which is very interesting to follow. Yes, please.
I'm from l'Agence France-Presse des Immigrants. What kind of concrete result will come out of this conference? Well, the presidency of this conference, is it going to end up in a declaration of the whole conference? Or what will be at the end of the conference?
Yes, of course there will be a final declaration negotiated, and which has some language, positive language, that which take care of the various positions expressed, particularly by the political and regional groups, because there are political and regional groups coordinating their own position in such context. What could be very interesting to follow for the next conference also is the level and the importance of the participation. For example, the United States will participate to such conference for the first time since 10 years, which has a positive and good significance. Of course, the position of groups strongly involved in such projects should be also followed closely, like the one of European Union. And
the level of the U.S. participation will be...
Well, you know, we don't have any precise information. There were informations not confirmed yet about the attendance of Mrs. Clinton herself, not yet confirmed. There is a overlapping of, as you know, of many, many important events the same day, be it the summit of the Security Council and during the same afternoon of the 24th, the summit of Pittsburgh, etc. But we are sure that CTBT, as it did before, will catch the consideration of many, many delegations and countries and groups wishing to give to such conference an important conclusion. What I can conclude with, when it comes, to involvement, and I'm speaking here on behalf of France and Morocco, we stay engaged for two more years after the conference as coordinators and chair of such conference to achieve our goals and to do whatever we can do, to push ahead this very difficult process.
Maybe I would like to stress what Omar said. It's very important, even if we don't, there is no final consequence to draw, but it's very important that the final declaration has been negotiated here in Vienna in a mood of consensus, and it has been discussed easily without any tension and without any difficulty. And it's a sign, because of course it doesn't prevent the absence of some signature and some ratification for nowadays, but the fact that there has been a quite easy consensus to adopt at referendum, of course, because it will be adopted on the spot, but the preparation, the fact that the preparation has been easy and consensual gives an indication of the importance, the political impetus that this conference must have. So it's a little element, technical element of the diplomatic life, but it has a signification. And the other, and of course there will be this declaration, there will be the question Omar said of the level of attendance, and the expressions made by ministers in the conference itself. And of course we don't know what will be said, but we hope that in many ministerial statements by countries which have not signed or which have not ratified, there will be some positive information or announcement, why not, but at least information on the process which is on in the respective countries. And for to incite the countries to deliver something substantial, our two ministers have signed a common letter, Minister of Foreign Affairs from Morocco and France, have signed together a common letter to all the partners in order to convince them of the importance of this meeting and of the importance of delivering something substantial.
I think in diplomacy symbolism matters, whether it's small symbolism or not. And symbolism number one, since 2000, since the NPT review conference in 2000, there has been no consensus document on nuclear non-proliferation disarmament besides the ministerial meetings of the CTBT. So I spoke about the solidarity and the cohesion of this family, whether it's the Vienna spirit, whether it's just a CTBT cohesion at very difficult times. So you have to understand in 2005 the NPT review conference failed with the final document. In 2005 the effort of the Millennium Plus 5 declaration on weapons of mass destruction failed. You remember that. So no one should overstate the significance of a consensus document, but it matters. That's number one. Number two, I think it's symbolic that for this conference we have a country, so to say, from the north and from the south, a country from the G77, together with France sitting in the chair. It was very similar in the previous 2 years with Austria and Costa Rica. Why it is the right symbol is because the treaty itself, I call it a new standard in how non-proliferation disarmament should be configured. The same obligations for each and everyone, the same level of obligations, and on the verification side as well, both non-nuclear and nuclear weapon states are having the same verification obligations, and it's unique. It's legally binding obligation. So it's a good symbol. The third element I would like to mention is, without overstating, that the previous Article 14 conference and this one is enabling countries who are still non-ratifiers to send a message. And from that point of view, the fact that the final declaration was adhered to in 2005 and 2007 and hopefully now by China, by Indonesia, by Egypt, Israel and Iran is not as going as far as a ratification by these countries, but a message which is moving us in the right direction. So these countries were participating in the meetings and they joined the final declaration as well. Pakistan was present in the last meeting again. So these are small steps. I don't think one should overestimate them, but this is the symbolic part of a consensus declaration emerging. There were times when a consensus declaration was a very scarce commodity, to be quite frank and brutal.
And this consensus and also the adherence by countries that haven't yet ratified the treaty is of course particularly important since the declaration usually it carries a very strong political message, actually calling upon remaining countries to sign and ratify the treaty. Sylvia, please.
I'm Sylvia from Reuters. You talked a little bit about what you want to achieve at talks, at the consensus document, and try to get some sort of agreement. I'm just wondering, with this good context, which isn't necessarily going to last forever, this favourable political context, whether you might try and push a bit harder, and what more concrete steps you try and like to achieve, maybe ones we won't hear about, like trying to get countries which haven't ratified to give some sort of time frame, especially the ones that could have an important influence on the rest. I'm wondering how far this will go, or is this more kind of a sounding out, trying to get an idea of the non-ratifiers, who needs more work than others?
It's difficult to say with certainty what will be the concrete achievements of the meeting, because it depends on the shoulders of everybody. So, but once again, I only can say the hope the two chairs have that this meeting will be considered by the different partners, and of course, mostly by the one we are crucial, as an opportunity to express the internal process which is on in the country, or the intentions if there is no still a legislative process on. So it will be up to the countries. Our task is once again to convince the different members that it is a real opportunity because of the new context we have spoken about, and it is really a chance, an occasion that nobody must avoid and must neglect. Afterwards, it will be a common and collective responsibility. So it's difficult to say now, 3 weeks before, what will be delivered, but I can only express our wish and the efforts we make with the Executive Secretary to convince everybody it is a unique occasion this year. And this year is not exactly the same as 2 years before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please. Yes.
Maybe just two words about the time the context and the you could imagine a time frame, I mean, to achieve such an important goal. In our view, I mean, universality, because this is by essence, I mean, the finality of such an instrument, universality doesn't mean immobility. I mean, it holds in the hand of the state parties to the treaty to decide whatever they wish to decide. You can imagine a special conference ahead than the conference on Article 14 to review the situation if ever, and we do not hope that it will occur. There is a deadlock. I mean, but you are right. 13 years after the signature, it's too long. And if the there is a persistence of a non-entry into force of the treaty, it could be very damageable. So there is a kind of emergency. We think that more and more at the international level and multilateral system, there is a, let's say, clear consideration of such danger, threatening the CTB. So time is of essence. There is an opportunity, a window of opportunity, very important one, with the last evolutions observed at the international level.
I think a new license for life was given to multilateralism and nuclear non-proliferation disarmament. There is a need to have a return for the investment. So the question might emerge in the next 2-3 years. Okay, there was a political investment, so what is the return? And it's absolutely important that this return is not just coming, for example, through a bilateral US-Russian Federation deal, which might happen and which is on the right track. But the international community in a wider context shows that once there is an investment, once there is a positive predisposition, there is a delivery as well. So this is what I see at stake, and this is where hopefully, without underestimating the challenges, this treaty is the closest to deliver something which is meaningful, which is both disarmament and non-proliferation, which is substantial, not just August declaration, but there is a legal prohibition, there's a verification system behind it. It was tried and tested, unfortunately, tried and tested by the different tests. This is where I see the difference. The other difference is, for the last couple of years, there have been country-specific discussions, and those were challenging discussions and tough discussions. Here, on the 24th of September, there is a non-country-specific systemic preventive approach to trying to resolve issues through cooperative means. So those who believe that there should be a more systemic approach, coupled, of course, with concrete issues, should show that, yes, this approach is working. Of course, there is a symbolism as well that it's not just a meeting of 15, but a meeting of a much wider community. And this community is not brought together for the first time, but this community has been walking the walk during the last 10 years as well. So there is a lot at stake in my judgment, and there is a need to deliver. And there are very few things in the multilateral non-proliferation disarmament area which can be shown after the investment of faith, investment of political capital. Okay, this is the product. This is emerging at the end of the pipeline, and this question will be asked. This question will be asked in 2, 3, 4 years down on the road.
So there was one question here, and also Setsuko had a question. No, Setsuko, please.
Setsuko, I'm not myself going to New York, but Bureau is covering this event. So on the declaration part, I have some more specific questions. The DPRK have once again conducted the nuclear test, and with the, of course, that there was a UN sanction, but the CTBT is actually the organization which deals directly on this topic. And what kind of tone, that as a chair, I'm asking both of you, that are you trying to bring into the declarations to of, I guess, to on this topic, that's question number one. And question number two touches a little bit, it's sort of like a two-fold question, so it touches a little bit on the Jonathan's sort of topic, that I see a lot of new development in India is sort of like a at that time during the IAEA, there was a big discussion about whether we would leave India as a separate one, or we would, whether we would try to embrace the India and have them engage it. And this engagement to the international community, and because this is all sort of all mixed together, and this is probably what Korea is, North Korea, DPRK is missing at all. So whether this sort of like concept of engagement, I don't think that India would be a good practice at all. I mean, this would be too far-fetching, but still I see India moving, somehow going into the right direction, and France was one of the countries which reached over the hand after this whole legal issue was, including the NSG, was cleared in terms of providing some of the technologies to India. So I'm asking that whether that sort of encouragement, not just pressuring by bashing, but that sort of wording would be also, or that way, that sort of approach, together with the strong, maybe, the condemnation to someone who had actually conducted, whether that would be, because this is sort of like a very good year to see two different developments of that, whether that would be incorporated in, or would you have any intention to do?
On the PR account, do you want to, on the work we have done here?
It's a very loaded question. There are too many aspects of it. We are trying to figure out who is digesting which part. You mentioned the issue outside the CTBT, how to mainstream, bring on board, whatever the phrase is, the countries who are outside the MPT regime. I think that was your reference point. And this is an issue which is complicated. What I can say that in our case, this issue is not a complication. Why? Because for this treaty, we don't have this differentiation whether these are MPT, nuclear weapon states, or non-nuclear weapon states, or non-MPT nuclear weapon states. We have a list of 44 countries. And all the countries eventually have the same obligation. So from that point of view, whether we are speaking about India or whether other countries who are not within the MPT, we can bring them on board without this discussion whether by mainstreaming that we will dilute or do not dilute the cohesion of an arrangement. So it's extremely important. But if you turn it around, this question, while countries are equal, there should be no country who is above the fray. There should be no country which is enjoying certain assets at the same time not undertaking obligations. I do not want to go beyond that level of generalities, but countries like India and Pakistan and DPRK can join a group of both nuclear weapon states and non-nuclear weapon states without a discussion exactly in which category they are belonging. Okay, so I don't think that this complication is there. No country can say, okay, until this issue is resolved, there is no possibility to move forward. By the way, that's the advantage of this complicated entry into force formula by now, because it's a very complicated formula. I mentioned to you earlier that if we were a chemical weapons convention, which we are not, we would have entered into force more than twice by now, because 65 ratification is the requirement for the was the requirement for the chemical weapons convention. So it's a complicated formula, but if there is any advantage of it, the advantage is that no country can say, look, I will not join this treaty until country X, Y, or Z is not within this treaty, because only with everyone on board this treaty will enter into force. From that point of view, it's a right step in the right direction that countries like Iran, Israel, Egypt are signatories to this treaty, though the ratification is still outstanding. So these are the things which are encouraging and making our life probably less complicated from the point of view of this categorization. And if you need incentives, the incentive is that this is not a country-specific discussion. For the DPRK, for example, for any country, the obligations and the verification obligations will be the same. So if in the future there is any need to look into any matter, no country can make the point that, look, I am discriminated here, why you are paying attention just to me. Same monitoring obligations, same on-site inspection obligations. So it's very clearly defined exactly how it will be done, what will be done. It's clear to everyone. So if countries would like to see that they are not the only one to move towards disarmament, they are not the only one to move towards nuclear non-proliferation, DPRK, for example, this is a neutral framework to move in.
My question was more towards the...
That's I leave behind.
...degradation, how that... on the question of the DPRK, what kind of tone will be using, and whether there will be some other let's do one by one.
No, on DPRK, as Tibor explained, and without saying to you what is the content of the final declaration, of course, there is a mention of the DPRK in the final declaration, and you remember that the second test created here in Vienna a lot of discussions and as Omar told before, a consensus reaction in Vienna, and it was also an opportunity to see that the technical facilities have operated very well. So it has a technical effect, which was so-called positive on the system itself, and a political effect also with debates in Vienna. And of course, the sanctions in New York you mentioned. So there is in the declaration a point referring to DPRK, and there is more generally, I would like to insist on what Tibor said on the neutral instrument that the CGBT is. There is an appeal to all countries of the Annex II. India also, to sign and ratify the treaty. So there is no, of course, we want not only France, Morocco, and all the countries which consider that this kind of instrument is very important, we want to put everybody on board. There is no dual approach, and of course, in the efforts we made in order to convince the countries to sign and ratify, India as well as Pakistan, as well as Israel, are exactly on the same level. There is no sort of subjective approach we would have in mind, not at all. And once again, as Thibaut Tot said, the instrument is quite appropriate for that, because the obligations for everybody are exactly the same. So there is no I don't see in this initiative, in this process, some place for subjectivity.
One quick point on the DPRK, the test door for the DPRK, as for the rest, should be closed as quickly as possible. Mm. With each and every test, a country, in that case the DPRK, is improving its capabilities, it's improving its potential to have an improved warhead, to have a warhead which could be put more easily on the top of a missile. So, as a complementary to the ongoing efforts on the denuclearization of the DPRK, this test door through this treaty will have to be closed for the DPRK as well. And it's in the interest of the countries of the region, but it's in the interest of all, because of the proliferation leakage of improved knowledge how to assemble warheads and how to build warheads.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I would like to add just a few words about these aspects. I mean, I bring you back to what was said by Mr. Todt when referring to the article published by some eminent American personalities, particularly Mr. Kissinger, Mr. Moon, and others. What was particularly underlined in this article is that no country will have the possibility to protect itself 100% against a nuclear attack, if ever. I mean, this should be really think about deeply by those who are driving the policies of their countries on such issues. And for DPRK, for example, yes, they did make a test, and again, I draw your attention to the fact that almost 60 stations from primary and auxiliary stations of the PTS were able to detect it very efficiently. But afterwards, there was also experiences on missiles, which were considered as a complete failure by experts. So it's very important to take note of such aspects. And finally, concerning India, coming back, there is a kind of optimism, which could be, taking in also seriously. India is a country which has always supported nuclear disarmament and still. I mean, they have adopted a policy in such field. And I am pretty sure that in that context they will consider more and more, the calls from sites, insisting on the fact that the CTPT has to be universally adopted.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to call me. We have a dedicated area on the conference and on the public website. We will have a press room there up there very soon with all the information you need in a nutshell. And also please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And Flickr. We have all our images up on Flickr now for easy download, and we also have downloadable video material for the TV broadcasters.
But no reality show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Th
I give you my card too, so the
name is, yeah,
you were so helpful.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So, the afternoon, the afternoon, the afternoon. So,